Hello and welcome to Beyond the Dashboard, your guide to understanding the world of key performance indicators. I'm your host, Steve Taylor, and each episode we'll be demystifying a new KPI, diving deep into its significance, debunking myths, and offering actionable steps for improvement. Whether you're leading a small or large MSP, or maybe just a brilliant technician looking to level up your business management skills, this is the place for you. So sit back, tune in, and get ready to go beyond the surface, beyond the complexity, and truly understand what lies beyond the dashboard. My guest today is Natalie Marinelli, Marketing Manager for Comet Backup. Natalie has over a decade of experience in technology marketing, including time at an MSP in San Luis Obispo, California. Without further ado, take it away, Natalie.
The question every MSP needs to be asking themselves is, are you surpassing industry benchmarks, or do you have some leveling up to do?
Today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at several KPIs that all revolve around email marketing. Natalie, can you fill us in on where do we even begin?
Marketing is a funnel, and each type of marketing, if you're doing it successfully, is a funnel. So you're going from the top, where you have an audience, the most number of users, down towards the bottom. So with email marketing, this breaks down into four different KPIs you want to be looking at and tracking. And these KPIs are pretty meaningless by themselves. They need to be in the context of the other KPIs. What you want to look at is number of subscribers. How many individuals are receiving your emails? What is the size of your audience? How many people are you reaching with your email campaigns? And the way that you would be collecting that information is you'd be taking people's email addresses and putting them into your CRM, which is a software that stores all those, whether that's MailChimp or ActiveCampaign or HubSpot, up to you kind of how big or small you go with that. But you need some sort of database management system, and built into most of those is a WYSIWYG way to build nice looking emails.
An easy way to collect that information is to create a lead magnet on your website, have a book or a white paper that you want people to download. It's free. All they have to do is give you their email and your firstborn.
So true. Yeah. You also, depending on how you're thinking about this, you also have all of your current customers' emails. And if you think about your current customers as people you're trying to upsell per se, or simply keep engaged. So you want to segment your audience and speak to, you know, you're not going to send the same email to a lead, a prospective customer, that you're going to send to Joe Schmo, who you've been doing business with for 5 years. The important thing here is not to be sending a single stream of comms. You want to segment your audience and talk to those different audiences differently. So maybe you have an email newsletter that you send out once a month to all of your customers, keeping them engaged, maybe providing some thought leadership, some business thought leadership, IT thought leadership, whatever seems relevant, letting them know you're having a customer appreciation event. When I worked at an MSP, we would do a food truck once or twice a year and invite all of our customers over just to try and have that ongoing rapport with them, versus, like Steve was talking about, using kind of typical, not IT specific, but just marketing standards across the board. You know, you don't have to be in IT. You see people in other industries, other businesses also using case studies, success stories as lead magnets. Another thing, once you have an audience built up, which that's not hard to do, you can get five people's emails and start running with it. You want to look at the open rate. And this is the percentage of recipients who open an email compared to the total number of emails sent out. The point of this one is basically to gauge the level of engagement from your audience. A few things that affect open rates are your subject lines. From my local city council, I somehow got subscribed to get their monthly newsletter, and I've been too lazy to unsubscribe. And I cannot tell you how boring the subject lines are. Every month it's like February's update, March's update. And I'm like, I'm not gonna click on this. Could you tell me, even if it's the subject line were, you know, we're rearranging traffic cones, like that would be more interesting to get me to open that email than, so whatever you do, do not put name of the month update.
When it's email, there's no SEO involved. What you have to do is write something so compelling that they can't not click it.
Yeah, it's human. Human what? And that's usually storytelling. You know, that just goes back to, how do you tell a good story in just, you know, half a sentence? How do you hook someone? Another thing that affects this that you might not be thinking about, open rates are affected by the day of the week and the time of day that you send. If you're doing this manually, I kind of did some research and figured out you can Google these things, so they change over time. But right now, the optimum thing is to send on a Monday or a Tuesday. We'll get you the most opens. And there are two peak times of day that business people, because we're working in the B2B space here, are opening their emails, between 8 and 10 a.m. and again in the afternoon around 3 p.m. So you really want to hit one of those times a day. And if you think about yourself, that probably logically makes sense. You come into the office in the morning, you get a coffee, you open up your computer. What's the first thing you do? You check Slack, you check email, right? And then again, what are you doing in the afternoon before you go home? You know, you're thinking about, what am I having for dinner tonight? And you're probably browsing email right before you leave the office, or mid-afternoon after lunch. You know, you're kind of checking in at that time of day again. So the best time to send an email would be at the beginning of the week, between 8 and 10 a.m. But a lot of platforms have a really cool feature where you need to set that as a default time. So in case it doesn't have any data, it will send at that time. But if it does have any data on your customer base, it will optimize the email to send at the best time of day for that person. So the more emails that this person opens, the better that feature is going to perform. And so look at your CRM and look for something called an optimization feature for send times. I know that MailChimp does this. Other platforms probably do this as well. So once you get someone opening an email, you want to look at your click-through rate. Your email click-through rate is the ratio of users who click on a specific link in your email divided by the total number of recipients who have opened the email. So your click-through rate reveals how engaged people are with your content and whether they want to learn more. So that's a really good one to be paying attention to. And lastly, you want to look at your click rate. How many people are clicking on the links and buttons, also known as call to actions, CTAs, in your newsletters. So if you're teasing a blog post and you say, read the blog, how many people actually clicked on that and went and looked at the blog? And again, all of those stats are really nicely built into the CRM for you. So once that email sends, that data is being collected. Let it, you know, let people open it for a day or two before you look at those stats. They're not meaningful until most people have opened that email. And after a couple of days, a week at most, people, you're going to get the majority of those stats. Really, if an email is sitting stale more than a week old, someone's not going to open it. Or the numbers of people opening it after that are so negligible as to be kind of inconsequential. So that runs us through the funnel from number of subscribers to the number of people, the open rate, number of people opening your email, through the click-through rate and the click rate. For B2B email, industry benchmarks is 15% for open rate. Your click-through rate would be sitting at about 21%, and your click rate, 3.2%. So ask yourself, are you hitting those numbers? Are you sitting above those numbers? Pat yourself on the back. Are you sitting below those numbers? Maybe there's some more you could do to optimize your email marketing. So what are those things? You can write compelling subject lines. How hooky is that subject line? You can personalize your emails. So we no longer live in an era where you are printing something that is static and everything has to look the same. This is not a postcard, you know? What you can do is you can put, hi, so-and-so's name. So you can use variables throughout the email. All modern CRMs support variables. Your variables are only as good as how good your data in your database is. If your database is really disgusting, what I would do is get an intern in for, you know, a few days, a week, and have them manually go in and clean up your database to, you know, if everyone's names are written in lowercase or funky capitalizations, go in, clean up that information so that you can use those variables and do that as a one-off project. Maybe you book that in as a summer intern once a year where you get the local marketing student from the university to come in and clean up your database. Heck, even like a high school senior, if your kid or your neighbor's kid wants to make some money, get them to clean up your database. And then use those variables to personalize the email. A lot of emails also, you can choose to put, emails are built in blocks of content. So if you have a block that is only relevant for a specific set of your audience, say there is a local town holiday and you're an MSP that covers two towns. And so you want to say, happy, you know, Springfield Day, everyone. Mm-hmm. and only half your audience is in Springfield, what you can do is segment and your database. If you have in your database, like the city name that everyone lives in, you can say, have this content only show to people who live in Springfield. So that's one way that you can segment and personalize emails. Or maybe you have customers who are Mac users versus PC users, and you want to do some specific content by platform, by, you know, whatever type of environment they're in, whatever it is. Maybe by industry, you want to send, you work with a bunch of schools, send something out that is segmented to schools, and then build another block that is segmented to all your car dealerships or what. The sky's the limit with creativity here in terms of personalization. Something a lot of people are not thinking about is optimization for mobile. 40% of people read their emails on their phones. You probably read your emails on your phones. I read my emails on my phones. The thing that's tricky about email and email marketing is, unlike in the good old fashioned days where you printed something and it looks the same for everyone, email marketing is a lot more similar to website marketing, where you're dealing, in website marketing, we're dealing with different browsers. Chrome renders things slightly different than Firefox, than Edge, and don't even get me started on Explorer. But with email marketing, arguably this is even harder because you've got so many different types of cell phones, so many different types of mail carriers. So Gmail looks different to Outlook. Outlook looks different on the web than it does on the desktop app, than it does on the mobile app. There's just like so much variation here. So what you do as an email marketer is you just kind of try and do your best across all the platforms. So it's not going to look stellar 100% of the places. You just need to get it looking good enough across enough of the places. And your CRM might be able to give you data back on how many people are looking at this on mobile versus home, how many people are looking at this on desktop, and how many people are opening this with Gmail versus Outlook. Those kind of stats, if you're like, 94% of my audience looks at this on Outlook, I'm going to optimize for Outlook. I'm going to send my test emails to an Outlook account and make sure it looks good there. Versus if, you know, 60% of your audience is Gmail, you are going to test this with a free Gmail account and make sure that your emails look good on Gmail, and test the mobile app for Gmail and how it looks on the desktop client or the web interface. So really important to make your emails look good kind of across the board. Think about the fact that they're delivered across different mediums. Lastly, the most important thing you can ask yourself is, how are you adding value to this person's life? What value are they getting by reading your content? Why do I care? Why am I opening your emails? If, you know, and I think we all intuitively do this in our personal lives, where we get kind of auto-subscribed into a business's emails, and we get emails from them and they're either too frequent. I signed up for a cooking podcast email recently. They hooked me because I wanted their free recipes, and then they started spamming me like 3 times a day, and I was just like, whoa, this is so aggressive. Like, I immediately opt out. So think about, are you delivering good value to this person? Are you providing something they actually care about, actually want to read? Or are you doing this because you feel like you're checking a box? In which case, that's probably not a good reason to be doing it. Like, go back to the whiteboard here and think about, how can I deliver value to this person? Not just what do you want out of it, which might be a sale or a new sale, a bigger sale, whatever it is. Think about it from their perspective. Can we make a controversial statement at the end here?
Sure.
Okay. So I think people think of email and social media KPIs as hand in hand. And you might have someone on the podcast later who's going to disagree with me, and you guys can go over social media KPIs. But I'm going to put a flag in the ground, Steve, and tell you that I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't make this one of your main marketing KPIs. Social media is a really important platform for certain industries, arguably, say, like buying certain products, more, you know, more consumer goods. Don't go down the rabbit hole on this one. Don't worry about how big your follower count is or what your average engagement rate on social media is. I do not think that this is a relevant enough metric to MSPs. What you're looking to do is bring in new leads, and I don't believe that social media is bringing in those leads. Feel free to prove me wrong. I'd love for an MSP to reach out to me at hello@cometbackup.com and tell me otherwise. But until I hear from you telling me that, yeah, we derive 90% of our leads from, you know, this amazing social media presence we have, I think I take a keep the lights on approach to social media for MSPs, especially if you're a small MSP. Put just enough content out to make sure that if someone Googles your business and clicks on those links, they think that you're still a business. You cannot just completely ignore social media, because if your last update on LinkedIn or Facebook was from 3 years ago, I'm gonna think that your business is out of business. But do you need to be on there all day, every day, posting every single day? No. This is not a good use of your team's time, of your marketing team's time. Just think about this intuitively. If you're trying to figure out if a company is still in business, how often do they need to be posting to make you feel like, yep, they're like still in business. I'm gonna ring them up. I think, you know, maybe once a week, a couple times a week. If you're really pressed for time, a couple times a month. And you could build this out as pre-planned content. So use a tool like Buffer or something, load up that content in advance, do it once a month, do it once a quarter even, and just check in on that content and let it go out. So I think it's more efficient to do all your social media content, if you can, ahead of time, and just let that drip feed out rather than being on there all day posting. So that's my 2 cents on social media KPIs.
Thanks so much for your time and insights, Natalie. I really appreciate you being my guest and educating my followers. We've all been there. The phone rings, your largest client is on the line, totally panicked. Their CEO spilled coffee all over her laptop and it's completely dead. Everything she needed for her investor presentation tomorrow was on that laptop. There's nothing more heart-stopping than losing business critical data. Whether you get hit with ransomware, hardware failure, or human error, data loss can be a business-ending event. Backups are your final stand when a threat penetrates your layers of defense. That's where Comet Backup comes in. Comet is a secure, reliable backup solution designed specifically for MSPs. Protect computers, servers, virtual environments, emails, and databases. You choose where the data is stored. Backup to local on-prem storage or any of the leading cloud providers to slash your storage costs. Comet grows with your business with scalable per-device pricing. Test drive Comet Backup with a 30-day free trial. Get $50 free credit when you sign up with the promo code ROCKETMSP. Start running backups in 15 minutes or less at cometbackup.com. Comet Backup, the backup solution that MSPs trust.